Welcome back to Defining Truth, episode 64. This week, the headlines were loud, but the truth was quieter. Government spoke, protesters shouted, media spun, but underneath it all, something far more serious was happening, a global movement. In Iran, citizens were killed by the thousands for demanding freedom. In Minnesota, activists stormed a church, not a courthouse, not a legislature, but a church actively on Sunday. And in Greenland, strategic reality collided with moral posturing. Different stories, same time in history. But we're here to define truth clearly, soberly, and without apology. So let's get into it. All right, guys, welcome back to the Defining Truth podcast. Just going to throw this out there. I had surgery this week on my jaw up here. And I feel tired from that. And my mouth hurts. But if you notice, my throat's a little sore. It's probably what it's from. Brandon, welcome back to the show. We're going to get into the three topics, main ones here, and we'll jump around a little bit. But a lot going on this week. I'd like to kick it off with Iran. If you're not too familiar with Iran, I'm going to get into a little bit of the history, just briefly. I'm not a expert by any means in the history of Iran, but we can give you a pretty good overview. So what's going on in Iran? Okay, many of you have seen videos of protesters by the millions marching through the streets of Iran, demanding regime change, demanding a change to the way that they've lived for decades now. And what is obviously apparent is that the brutal Islamic regime in Iran is simply executing people for exercising their rights. Over the past 2 weeks, Iran's Islamic regime has unleashed a nationwide crackdown on its own population. The protests were not isolated riots. They were not foreign invasions. They were ordinary Iranians. These are students, high schoolers, college kids, workers, moms, demanding basic dignity. According to multiple human rights organizations, more than 20,000 protesters have been killed. There's 10,000 additional deaths under investigation. Even the UN is warning the true death toll may exceed upwards of 40,000, potentially far higher due to mass graves, disappearances, and near total internet blackouts. If you're unaware, basically what happened is as the protests increased, the government in Iran went blackout. They shut all internet off. They shut cell service down. And then they started executing people. Now, if you follow any channels on Instagram or Telegram, some of these non-censored channels, a lot of footage is coming out, cell phone footage of people going into morgues and warehouses and buildings there in Tehran and surrounding cities, showing tons and tons of bodies. We've covered some of that stuff on our Instagram. If you check out Defining Truth on Instagram, you can see some of those videos. But it is absolutely insane what's happening. And let's get into why it's happening. So we used to be really good friends with Iran, okay? Pre the 1979 Islamic Revolution, we had pretty good deals with them. It was a free and open society. I'm not saying they didn't have their problems like any country does, but they weren't under the brutal Islamic rules that they currently are. And basically what happened in 1979 is Iran was transformed from a secular monarchy into an Islamic theocracy. And power transferred not to the people, but to these clerics. They're not even Iranian. They're not even Persian. The system was designed so the Islamic authority overrides democratic will. So at the very top, you have Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader. He was unelected, lifetime authority. He controlled the military, the judiciary, the intelligence services, and the media. The real enforcement arm, though, of power there is the IRGC, which you may have heard. That just stands for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. By the way, these are the guys that are single-handedly responsible for more deaths of Americans than any other group in the last 50 years, at least. This is why, we dropped a missile on Soleimani. the IRGC general, who planned thousands of American deaths. The whole time we were engaged in GWAT in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Iranians were working overtime to provide munitions and training to America's enemies. They built, which you all may know now famously as IEDs or EFPs, all of that stuff was being manufactured and funded and sourced through Iran. They have a very open, publicly stated goal, and that is to wipe Israel from the face of the earth and get rid of all the Americans. This is not a secret. It's not really hard to find. They're a brutal and evil regime. Not to mention they're at the very core or axis of the axis of evil that exists today in modern times. So they sell weapons to North Korea. The Russians sell weapons to them and rockets, etc. It's just a big cesspool of evil. And to give you an idea of the kind of stuff they do, right? This is the regime that if they see a young girl take her hijab off, they'll hang her publicly downtown. Or they brutally rape and murder people for watching secular movies. Okay, this is not a nice place. Iran is not a nation state in the Western sense. As we're saying, it's an ideological regime occupying a country. And this is the gripe of the protesters, right? And they're saying that this ideological regime has taken over their country and they want it back. Now, what's triggered the sort of current crisis that's going on? Well, you have economic collapse, right, due to sanctions from the West and major corruption inside. You have youth unemployment, which is rampant. Iran has a very young population who is being brutally suppressed. There's food and fuel shortages, tons of public executions. The morality police are brutal there in Iran, as we've stated. And basically, the population has lost fear of consequences. And here's what I think is happening. They think that by cracking down harder and shooting high school students in the head in the streets, that they're somehow going to regain a semblance of control. I think it's going to be the opposite, right? They're creating martyrs. They're infuriating a nation and a public that is sick of the oppression and the lies. Right now, it's getting even worse, or I would say the protests are growing. The protests are nationwide. They include a large variety of women, students, labor unions, ethnic minorities. They're chanting against the supreme leader, burning effigies. Protesters are burning symbols. This is a red line. So we know that the regime has killed thousands on the ground. They've arrested thousands. They've cut the internet out. They're conducting public executions. And what's going to happen? Well, I guess we got to wait and see. Analysts believe that this is just the beginning of the end. If you want our personal opinion, or mine, I should say, I think that we should help them. I think we should have already helped them more than we are. I know that a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, Trump made a statement online saying help is on the way. I know that we've moved military assets into the region. I think that this assistance is very defensible. We have a very good reason to be involved in this area of the world, and we should. As you know, we here at Defining Truth are not isolationist. I don't believe in this coward, don't help anybody else in the world type nonsense. We are the world's most powerful nation by far. And through that power comes responsibility, and we have the ability to maintain peace globally and build allies that assist the American nation, and we should. Iran has done a tremendous amount of damage to us, and they continue to, by the way. Iranians are very active here in the United States. In fact, in 2014, I think we've discussed before on the show, they tried to assassinate the Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C. at a restaurant called Le Petit. They would have killed couple hundred American citizens, congressmen, senators, people that often frequent that restaurant in D.C., and their response was they could care less. They're really bad people. So anyways, before I continue, let me digress here and let you jump in, Brandon. What other insider opinion do you have from, I would say, like, just the American cultural perspective? Let's say you're a college student, or you're just an average, person here in the United States. Why does Iran matter, or why do we care about it?
Well, I think he touched on it. Iran is in a very important part of the world, very close to an ally of ours, Israel, which is one point I wanted to bring up. I was listening to, I don't remember the name of the guy. He's an Iranian official. I think they're foreign minister. And Brett Baer, he was on the Brett Baer show, and Brett was pressing him on what's happening in their country because there's, you know, state violence happening against civilians. And he basically did what, you know, everybody does, especially Americans. He blamed the Jews. He was like, nope, we're not killing our people. It's Mossad agents. He called them terrorists inside our country, and they're the ones doing it. So I thought that was interesting. Two, I want to touch on sort of the catalyst that started, as you mentioned, this recent uprising, and kind of put it in a perspective. So it was really caused by economic uncertainty, and uncertainty is not even the right word. I mean, it was total collapse. Right. To put it into an American context, Americans start to get a little nervous about inflation around 4 to 5% typically. We're usually around 2% is sort of the baseline level or baseline expectation. But 4 to 5% is when it starts to get politically and emotionally sort of real for Americans. Well, Iran is facing 40 to 50% inflation. Jeez. And so I was doing some research and I was trying to put it in a context of US dollars, but that just doesn't do it justice because you would have to have, there's too many factors to consider, because when I was looking at some of these prices, I was thinking, well, you know, a dollar for a kilogram of rice doesn't seem unreasonable, but the average income in Iran is $4,000 to $5,000 US dollars per year. So yeah. You're talking, they're only making $400 US dollars a month equivalent. And so to have they already don't have money. So then to have 40 to 50% inflation on all of these common household goods is really sort of what has caused some of these things. I mean, you mentioned, simple stuff like rice, bread, beef, cooking oil, everyday grocery items, fuel. They can't afford fuel. So that's really what sort of kicked off this most recent sort of uprising was the record high inflation and rising prices. And the national currency, the real, has plunged to historic lows, trading at roughly 1.4 to 1.5 million reals per US dollar, which, I mean, if you don't understand the context, that doesn't really touch down on it, but I mean, extreme economic collapse. And so there were shopkeepers in Tehran's Grand Bazaar who started protesting the surging prices and the declining value of their currency. And these business owners historically are very influential in Iranian society. And so they symbolize this sort of broader public frustration. When even the traditionally conservative Bazaar community protests, it signals widespread economic pain. This started to spread towards the broader population, where you started to see, like you said, university students, mothers, factory workers. I think that, and I don't know, I've never been there and I've never talked to anybody from Iran, but it seems as if, like, you know, they're okay with a little oppression until you start to starve them. And then basically that's when people start to get fed up with the entire system. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think that as far as your question as why it matters for the common US citizen, I think is because we as Americans want to spread, democracy across the world. We did that throughout the 20th century, for better or for worse. We tried to do that in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, although there were some failures and some, sort of policy issues that could have been worked out a little bit better, the idea is that we want to free the world. We've done that for basically since our existence. It's how we became a country.
Well, and it's the most America first thing that you can do, because what we've learned time and time again throughout history is that when you allow evil to flourish, if you allow these independent evil regimes to grow and continue to develop their evil ideology, it affects you. And Iran's one of the best examples of that. I mean, they are single-handedly one of the greatest state sponsors of terrorism around the world. They've sent hundreds of millions of dollars to groups like Hamas and Hezbollah and anti-American operations and funding militias against U.S. military personnel around the world. I mean, they are truly an evil, evil regime. And like I said, they don't hide it.
Yeah, that's one point that, you know, we were talking about the difference between Bret Baier and his sort of lack of tolerance for the propaganda that this foreign minister was putting out compared to some other people on the right. You know, Bret was basically said that, you know, Iran is one of the number one state sponsors of terrorism across the globe, certainly in the Middle East, but across the globe. And he sort of, this foreign minister sort of chuckled and was like, well, we're not directing them. We just support them and fund them. And Bret was like, yeah, no, that's like not, it's the same thing. Like, you're not going to get away with that answer. So they're openly admitting that they fund these terrorists that are operating across the world. And I'm just sort of wondering, for both people on the left and the right, the America First people who really are America only, like, how do you not see the things that happen across the world affect the United States? Because they are going to make their way here. In some cases, yeah. They already have.
Yeah, like here's a group, here's a nation ran by a brutal regime that's single-handedly responsible for thousands of American deaths. Are you going to tell me that that's not America First to deal with them? That we shouldn't deal with that? We should just let them run amok? Did you learn nothing from the last century? Did we learn nothing about dealing with Nazi Germany or the rise of communism around the globe? I mean, it's just purely ignorant. What a lot of people, and this is unfortunate to state, but a lot of people, including conservatives now, they fail to realize just how hard many Americans work in the shadows, day in and day out, 24/7, to keep America safe. And that includes reaching out and touching our enemies far off. We don't wait for them to come here. So this is the geopolitical dance that occurs on a day-to-day basis. And we need the intelligence community and the Department of Defense, and we need the State Department. And all of this is an ongoing effort to protect America. It's just disgustingly ungrateful to hear Americans complain about U.S. involvement abroad when they really have no idea what is providing them the safety that they enjoy or the liberties they enjoy. All that to say, something's going to happen in Iran. They're at a breaking point. They could be a tremendous ally for us. They threaten the entire world constantly. And as we've said repeatedly now, it's not a secret. They're very open about it. So these are the last people on Earth we want having, you know, something like a nuclear weapon. And I think that we should support them. And I think we will, hopefully.
Do you think that we'll see something similar to like what happened in Venezuela, or do you think the Venezuela thing is isolated because of the like the narco terrorism as opposed to just?
I think Iran and Venezuela are apples to oranges. It's two very, very different situations. We've considered action against Iran for many years now. In fact, I think we've mentioned before, back in 2005, when I was deployed actively with the U.S. Army in Iraq, there were talks about moving up to the Iranian border due to the amount of resources and funding and threats coming from that side. The difference is this isn't Venezuela. You have something far more dangerous at play, which is radical Islamic jihadism. This isn't like a few fringe people. I mean, this is a deeply engaged and trusted ideology there that we're witnessing sort of a break apart right now. You mentioned that younger generation, right? Well, in large part due to the internet and social media, for the first time, young Persians are able to see the world outside the oppressive Islamic regime. And so that's going to take a little more effort than just flying in and snatching. Maduro was a clown. He was a clown, completely incapable, oppressing his own people. He was just like a villain from a movie, making money off of selling drugs and killing his own people and torturing people. It was an easy snatch. It was nothing for us. Okay, Delta took care of that pretty quick. Iran is a bit of a different situation. You're talking about a more established regime, a much larger circle of protection when we talk about Al-Quds Force and the IRGC. Do I think we could do it? Sure, we could. It depends on the willingness of U.S. leadership to engage in something like that. I mean, look, we just took out everything that we wanted to not too long ago, right? Their air defenses are a joke. They have a rusty excuse for an air force. We basically dominated the skies above Tehran and had a blank check to hit whatever target we wanted. Now, going in on the ground is something different. And of course, there are some similar considerations with regime change, and that's always what happens with the vacuum, right? It's like, what happens when you take out a leadership structure? That void is going to be filled by something, and you have to be very careful with that to avoid further loss of human life. We don't want some crazy militia or more radical groups to take over, and that's the game that we play. Now, because that challenge exists, does it mean we shouldn't do it? No. I am 100% for regime change. I don't know why people are scared of saying that. I think that we should absolutely engage in that, especially when we have countries like Iran who have been proven to have killed American citizens and constantly threaten us and pose a threat to civilized world. I don't understand why we're afraid of saying, yes, we're going to change your regime, and we should, because we have the power and the ability to do that. Now, the question is how you go about it. Strategically, ensuring that victory and a succession plan is there. So yeah, it's a little more complicated than Venezuela, I would say, but something's going to happen. It has to. Now, let's jump, because this is actually a lot closer than you think to this conversation. Let's jump to Minnesota. Oddly enough, in Minnesota, we have some of the same ideology playing out in our own streets. What's been happening in Minnesota? Well, Minnesota kicked off when it was discovered that millions upon millions of dollars have been laundered through scams and government programs there in the state, which it all appearances now indicate that the Democrats were well aware of. I would think probably the most damning of information toward that would be Tim Walz stepping down while this investigation is ongoing. But as the story's developed, what we've learned is that the Democrats are fully aware of this, and they don't care. They don't care. I'm going to play a clip. If you check us out on Instagram, I played a clip of a teacher in Minnesota. She's a professor at the University of Minnesota, talking about how their stated goal there is to dismantle the United States of America. That's her own words, okay? So does it come as a surprise to me when millions of dollars are being laundered and defrauded, when people are actively working to destroy the U.S. government there and go against law enforcement and all of our first world institutions? No. Why? Because Americans on the left have fully adopted our enemy's perspective. And that is something that we have to deal with. The piper's calling. We are not going to be able to deal with this forever. We have to deal with this infection, this mind virus that we have allowed to fester and grow in our country. This whole I hate America attitude, I hate capitalists, we have to kill rich people, it's justified theft, we can steal and defraud people because we deserve it. It is envy and greed at its finest. So what's happened recently, stuff in the news in Minnesota? Well, for starters, you had this group, this was all over the news, I'm sure you saw it. You had a group of protesters led in part by Don Lemon, the former disgraced CNN host, and they stormed into a church on Sunday morning while they were in service and began shouting slurs and cursing and scaring people. In one scene, you see a little child, a little boy, cowering in his dad's arms with the mother next to him. It's a disgrace. It was revolting. And if you listen to the protesters, one in particular, three of them have been arrested, but the one of the main guys in particular who's narrating his own video is talking about how it's their constitutional right to come in and harass and make people feel uncomfortable. In fact, Don Lemon says the same thing. So let's just put that to bed real quick. That's unequivocally false. That's a lie. What is a right is freedom of assembly and freedom of religion. And you have the right, and it's protected by the Constitution, to gather on Sundays, for example, and go to church. And what they did was completely illegal. That's why three of them have been arrested. Now, to add a little more drama in there, Don Lemon was also participating in that, and an arrest order was issued for him, and the judge, who was supposed to preside over that, denied it. Now, as investigative journalists have dug into it, they found that the judge who refused to have Don Lemon arrested was actually the judge that signed all of the January 6 warrants. So apparently he had no problem arresting conservatives, but when it comes to people violating one of our most sacred rights, freedom of religion, he doesn't seem to care. He declined to immediately sign charges against him. What does this mean, okay, for America? This isn't about immigration policy. That's what they're trying to make it about. What it's about is authority. And the left in America doesn't recognize any authority. They don't believe in the rule of law. They don't believe in law enforcement. They don't believe in borders. They believe in chaos. And in their own words, like I mentioned, this university professor, which we'll throw up here for you to see, their goal is to dismantle the United States. Okay. I don't understand what's going on in DC, but in my view, that's treason. And you have an ideological movement that is telling you openly to your face, we want to destroy your country. We're going to disobey your laws. We're going to fight law enforcement. We're going to encourage violence against law enforcement. We're going to storm into your churches. And again, our goal is to dismantle your country. So how do we deal with that as Americans? Do we tolerate that? I mean, this is an open question. I'm asking it. I think we need a little bit of McCarthy 2.0, right? We need to rid the United States of this poison, or it's only going to get worse. Now we're learning, unfortunately, that this isn't just relegated to Minnesota. Probably the worst state in the union, as we're learning, is right here in California, where billions and billions with a B of dollars are unaccounted for in fraud, waste, and abuse. And what the story isn't just that there's fraud, waste, and abuse. The government's always dealt with that. The story is that it would appear now that the Democrats are fully aware of it and they don't care. They want that to happen. They want it because they're a progressive Marxist. They believe in redistribution of wealth. They believe that those who have more should have less. It's driven by greed and envy and taking of others, and they justify every wrong they commit by making themselves the victims. And so we're going to see in the next couple months here, mark my words, that what started in Minnesota is going to be a much broader national story. There's fraud everywhere. The Democrats are very open about their beliefs of dismantling the United States. And it's going to come down to, what do you want to do about it? That's going to be the big question to answer next. Evil wears this language of justice. They call intimidation compassion, and lawlessness is baptized in virtue, but it's all a lie. So I don't know. Did you see the video from the church in Minnesota? Any of the protesters that went in there?
Yeah, I did. This really comes down to this sort of growing intolerance for Christians, Christianity. This disruption of a worship service is part of this broader pattern where religious expression is increasingly challenged or dismissed when it intersects with sort of contentious social issue. The United States, the government needs to step in here, because people have a right, as you said, to worship. And your right to protest or call attention to what you believe to be social injustice absolutely cannot in the United States of America disrupt somebody else's right to worship freely. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian, Muslim, a Jew, some free loving hippie, like, you have the right in the United States, to worship. And that cannot be disrupted. I mean, it's literally the First Amendment. So, Christians, believers are becoming, or should, if they're not already, become even more concerned about the disruption of public discourse in America. And episodes like this are sometimes framed not as isolated events, but as symbols of a broader cultural shift, which of course we talk about here all the time. And really, again, I think it falls on the churches. Christians and church leaders should not tolerate this at all. I don't know anything about this specific church, if there was a reason they picked this church in Minnesota, or if it was just totally random. But I mean, the gall of somebody like Don Lemon, who coincidentally was the topic of our very first podcast 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that he thinks that he can do this, and you know, I understand, like, you know, you get three random people together who are, you know, upset about some immigration thing. You know, they're talking about the woman who was killed. And again, you know, that's really simple. One great way to not get killed by, you know, ICE or any sort of law enforcement officer is to follow their directions. You know, you might be totally justified in, or you might think that you're justified in, you know, not following their orders, but that's not how it works in America. You handle that in the courts, right? You don't try to run somebody over, run a cop over. He has to make sure that he gets home to his family too. So,
yeah, of course. Yeah, it's not even a question.
Yeah, not even a question. So a really good way, and again, I've seen it from the left and people that I know about, you know, justice for Renee, whatever her name was, you know, the best way she could have got justice was by, you know, doing what she should have been doing, which is taking care of her children.
Yeah.
They're talking about, you know, her young child that is now motherless.
Not trying to run over a cop at
yeah.
the street.
Yeah. Guess what? I was never motherless because my mom never tried to run over a cop.
Yeah.
So it's common like, sense. It's a little silly. But there's definitely a risk of escalation. Incidents like this can deepen perceptions of hostility towards Christianity amongst believers, especially when this woke ideology activism enters worship spaces. And, you know, there needs to be legal protections for worship when things like this happen. So I'm really curious to see what the United States government is going to do to protect these people whose rights have now been taken away.
They're going to have to do something. I think at least in part, part of the problem is people have completely forgotten how to think. They don't know how to think logically anymore. So you hear some random bit of information on social media and you take it at face value. And it's breaking our culture, right? Logically speaking, there are things, okay, for something to be logical, it has to meet at a minimum the criteria of being commonsensical, okay? Like this week, there was a bunch of information going, there was a story going around about ICE arresting a five-year-old. Okay, as soon as I saw that, right, immediately, that's nonsensical.
Doesn't your brain go to like, okay, this doesn't make sense, let's see what actually happened?
You'd have to be mentally incapacitated to believe that that's true, because it's not. Because law enforcement agencies don't go around arresting five-year-olds. And yet, that story spreads like wildfire across social media, and you have all these wackos storming into the streets and trying to fight cops over this perceived allegation, this claim of police arresting five-year-olds. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Now, what was the real story? The five-year-old's parents had been arrested, and ICE wasn't going to let him freeze to death in the snow, so they took care of him, and they took him to a shelter. Okay, now it doesn't, as a thinking common sense person, you don't have to go down that rabbit trail. You immediately dismiss that type of headline as stupid, because that's what it is. And yet we have millions of people apparently in the country that are taking that at face value and going, oh my gosh, they're arresting five-year-olds. I mean, how dumb are you? Now, what is really happening? Okay, this operation in Minnesota, let's just touch base on this real quick. Okay. They've arrested over 10,000 illegal individuals in Minnesota over the last year. Okay. This recent operation, which is in the news, is called Metro Surge. They've arrested 3,300 people since that operation Metro Surge began. These arrests, okay, they're not five-year-olds cowering in the snow. They are the worst of the worst. These are people with prior convictions for murder, assault, domestic violence, drug trafficking, identity theft. According to the Department of Homeland Security and press releases, these individuals have been arrested for murder convictions, child rape, kidnapping, assault, identity theft, drug trafficking. I mean, I just don't understand how this narrative of, you know, no one's illegal and they're just snatching bodies up. I mean, they are literally law enforcement doing their job. If we don't reach some compromise between common sense and logic and all these, you know, protest movements, we're heading for absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. So let's leave that be. We're going to see more from that, but sufficient to say the correct perspective as a believer. And let's bring this in real quick. At Defining Truth, we want to convey this, that we are to respect the governing authorities as long as they don't violate God's laws. Okay. And there's nothing unbiblical about enforcing criminal law, about arresting a child rapist. You'd have to be pretty stupid to assert that claim. And I think those words, and I'm using kind words there, because as a society, if we lose that, we are headed for big trouble. So I'm sure we'll hear more about this in the coming weeks. Why? Because Minnesota's the tip of the iceberg. There is what appears to be now way more fraud in California. In fact, check out our Instagram again, or a clip we put together of Governor of California Gavin Newsom in Davos this week, sounding like a Batman villain as he complained about Trump looking into fraud in California. He looked scared. And like I said before, there are billions missing in California, and a lot of it is facilitated through the same stuff that's going on in Minnesota. And just to be clear, let's bring this together real quick. There's a political point. There's a nexus here. Do you ever stop and wonder why these elite, rich, liberal Democrats care so much about illegals? Why are they defending people who aren't even in the country legally who are committing heinous crimes? Let me tell you, the connection has to do with winning elections. They learned a long time ago that they could flood the population with more people than live in some states in the United States, millions and millions and millions of people, virtually guaranteeing, because they defend them to no end, even when they rape children and murder people, guaranteeing that they would vote for Democrats. Now, what are we saying? That we're against immigration? Absolutely not. I am pro-immigration, always have been. Tell me, what is wrong with having a common sense immigration process, a law? Would you like to come here? Yes, apply. Show us who you are. Wait in line like everyone else, just like we have to do when we want to go to a different country. You've been played by the Democrats, and it's all about power for them, and the American citizen is suffering. Let's jump in the last story here over to Greenland. Some of you may be thinking, what the heck is Greenland? Where is it? Why do I care? Well, if you, I don't know where you're listening right now, if you're on a podcast or watching on YouTube, but pull your phone out and bring up a map of Greenland there in the Arctic area and just look at where it's located. This is a extremely strategic location. Now, for clarification, we've the U.S. military, we've been in Greenland for a long time. Okay. We have assets there. We have a longstanding relationship with Greenland. There's only like 60,000 people in Greenland. It's not that many. And, it's much smaller than your average small city here in California.
And it's not very green. The joke is that Greenland is covered in ice and Iceland is covered in green.
Yeah, absolutely.
I digress.
But you know who cares, the most about Greenland? China and Russia. China and Russia, who are expanding military economic presence in the Arctic. We're talking shipping lanes, missile defense systems, early warning infrastructure. All of this is at stake. And power vacuums do not remain empty. Okay, so there's some dynamics going on here. The United States have single-handedly propped up NATO for many, many years, right? All these countries that are super far left and they're arresting Christians for praying outside of abortion clinics, they also want the Christian West in the United States to defend them and protect them against Russia and the aggression from Russia and Iran and China, et cetera. This is a little bit of tit for tat here. Okay. The U.S. presence in Greenland would be an enormous benefit for Europe, and they know that. So a lot of what you're seeing in the news, just take it with a grain of salt, because a lot of it is just them saying what they feel they need to say for their constituents. But in truth, they're welcoming Trump's move into Greenland. It would be a massive expansion of U.S. territory, and it would greatly benefit not only Greenland, but NATO. It would be a huge benefit to NATO. In fact, I can't quote him because I forgot, but I just listened to one of the NATO chiefs talking about how wonderful he thought this was this morning.
Well, and let's touch on why. So while we're sitting here in America debating symbolism, like you said, Russia and China are acting. Russia's opened, reopened Cold War era Arctic bases. They're expanding their military infrastructure, deploying radar and missile systems. There's critical, as you mentioned again, advanced missile detection corridors in the Arctic, early warning radar system, submarine pathways, shipping lanes. China has now declared itself a near Arctic state, despite not being anywhere near the Arctic at all, by investing in heavily in ports, financing infrastructure, and seeking long-term leverage. And they're not asking anybody for permission. So, you know, as we're sitting here writing op-eds about, you know, whether or not Trump should quote unquote invade Greenland, they're positioning their countries to be strategically placed to probably inflict harm on the United States and its allies.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. And Greenland is so important to us, or I should say it's going to be even more important to us in the coming years. And there's a lot of foresight and intelligence here that I don't think people really understand. I mean, Greenland has been autonomous, I guess, ruled himself since 2009, but they're technically under the Kingdom of Denmark as far as defense and foreign policy, meaning Denmark protects them if needed, right? But Denmark has always allowed the United States to have a presence there. We've had a good relationship with them there. That's why I think a lot of this is just a front. If I don't understand the Danes' sort of response to Trump's move, they should have welcomed it a long time ago. It's a benefit for everyone. Let's keep this in mind. Greenland is at a geopolitical crossroads between North America and Europe, okay? It's vital for military, surveillance, defense interests, like you were saying. Its northern position makes Greenland crucial for all of our early warning systems and missile defense threats against Russia and beyond, okay? So think about anything coming from Iran, for example, which we got a lot going on there, okay? China, Russia, even North Korea. Our systems there and the ability to control the Arctic are vital for the defense of the homeland, particularly when it comes to ICBMs. These are intercontinental ballistic missiles. Trump, okay, has made Greenland a major foreign policy flashpoint recently. He's increasing pressure on Denmark and Greenland, including threats of tariffs to force agreement on the U.S. access or control. This week, he completely ruled out military force. He said, I'm not going to do that. I think we're close to a deal, end quote. He framed Greenland as essential to U.S. national security, which it is. And by the way, that's not a Trump opinion. Everyone knows that opinion. Okay. Let's pause here for a minute and note that recently, with a lot of stuff that Trump says, the Democrats want to highlight it as if it's some kind of crazy thing that Trump himself made up. That's just not true. A lot of the stuff that Trump has said or has done have been longstanding positions of the United States. Even things like immigration, right? Point in case, the Obama administration deported way more people than Trump has. Okay, do I need to say that again? The Obama administration deported way more people than the Trump administration has. And you didn't hear a peep from Democrats. Why? Because it's against their ideological movement. They hate America. As they state themselves, they want to dismantle the United States and our government. So they're not going to complain about their own people. Why? Because they don't care about illegal immigrants. They don't care. They care about power. So Greenland is another example of that. This has been a longstanding accepted necessity. Greenland is very important to us. Trump is just doing what Trump does in putting America first. And he's advancing things a little bit farther along than other people have.
I think it's important to note, and it's clear in past examples, where America is not, China is, right? We pull out of Afghanistan, and within weeks, China is opening up the new Silk Road. They're in Afghanistan. Our presence in Africa is weak to non-existent. China is all over Africa, raiding them of their resources. So we need to make something very clear for people in America and, anybody listening that might be looking at the United States. because confusion here is dangerous. National defense is not aggression. Preparedness is not imperialism, and leadership is not domination. Can strength be abused? Yes, but weakness is never moral. And many of the nations most vocal in criticizing American power, like Denmark at the moment, depend on it, hide beneath it, and benefit from the United States' global power. So the global order that they enjoy exists precisely because America stood guard. And it's important for them to remember that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we're going to see a positive outcome here pretty soon. I mean, after Davos this week, seems like there was a lot of headway made. You have former Danish officials saying Europe must strategically engage with President Trump's pressure campaign over Greenland. So they're now saying, okay, well, maybe we need to listen to him. I think a lot of this is a front. I don't see any strategic reason whatsoever why NATO wouldn't want the United States and Greenland. Denmark doesn't do anything there, like nothing. So why wouldn't you want the world's most powerful ally sitting right there off the coast? It just doesn't make any sense. But I think we'll see some sort of response here soon. I saw a bunch of footage of Greenlanders themselves all wearing like red MAGA hats and stuff saying, please come and, you know, we want to have you here. Well, of course they do. And you know what struck me as interesting is, in a lot of the interviews, these Greenlanders, they were asking them, well, why do you want Trump to, you know, come into Greenland? Why do you want to be part of America? And they have the same complaints that every person coming to America wants. It's like, because we want better healthcare, right? We want better economy. We want more opportunities and freedom and jobs. This despite all the rhetoric you see, if you Google, by the way, is a cesspool of liberal trash. But if you Google stuff about Denmark and Greenland, you're going to hear this leftist utopia about free healthcare and all this wonderful socialist program. But then you listen to these interviews of people there in Greenland and they're like, help us. We want better healthcare. It's horrible. So you hear the same kind of stuff coming from Cuba and every other left-wing failure. So I think change is coming there pretty soon. Tariffs, diplomacy, all that going on. Good stuff in the news. Let's just wrap this up here with this. Okay. Well, what is Iran, Minnesota, Greenland? These three stories have one pattern basically. And this is what we talk about constantly in defining truth. This is the culture war. Truth is being suppressed. Authorities rejected. Moral language is weaponized, especially by the left, right? They use words like justice and equity and racism and all that stuff. And they weaponize in it. Power exercised without accountability. All of this, here's what we have juxtaposed here. We have Aristotle's version of logic versus Hume and Kant and this sort of secular humanist perspective that nothing is really real and nothing can be known. That split and departure from common sense has led us to the idiocy of the current century, where leftism seeks to elevate the self as the highest deity. And Western nations and the biblical worldview says, no, we were created. Truth can be known. Logic should be applied and it should have common sense. And that basically divides our perspective on all of these issues, whether it's Iran, Minnesota, Greenland. On one side, we're trying to defend truth and reality. And the left is trying to say, well, truth and reality can't be known. It's whatever we make it. And so you have this pattern, right? Which, by the way, you don't have to take our word for it. Leftism has failed repeatedly everywhere it goes in whatever form it takes, right? It's like a dark monster. It takes a form of Islamic regime in Iran. It takes a different form in Soviet style politics. It takes a different form in European Marxism or socialism, but it's all the same thing. It's the horseshoe effect, right? And by the way, it's taking a different form in the whole Tucker Candace woke right side. They're the other part of the horseshoe. It's same trash, right? They hate truth. They're driven by hatred. They've departed from common sense. They present completely illogical accusations, and they all end up in the same place. Basically, what are we saying? When you depart from truth and reality, you're going to suffer. I know we've said that a million times, but what is truth? God is truth. God is reality. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And by the way, Thomas Aquinas taught that truth is when the mind conforms to reality. This is the correspondence theory. Our age demands reality conform to ideology. It's the opposite of that. So the Bible says truth is out there for you to know. You should align your life with the truth, right? Namely, God's truth. God said, this is the way things are. And if you abide by my rules, it'll go well with you. Where the world's message is, no, reality should be whatever you want it to be. You just make it up. And whatever you believe, reality should conform to that ideology. That's a recipe for absolute disaster, because we've seen that experiment before. And that experiment always ends the same way. Chaos, tyranny, dead protesters in the street, and blood. So just in wrapping up here at Defining Truth, we don't panic, we discern. That's a key mark of true conservatives and biblical worldview. Rightly divide and judge. These are part of the three acts of the mind. To logically work through a situation and an ideology, judge the conclusions. We don't chase narratives, we test them. And we don't bow to lies, no matter how loudly they're shouted on social media. Stay anchored, stay clear-eyed, stay faithful. This is Defining Truth. And we'll catch you guys next time.